was read, Romans chapter 5. Maybe you haven't closed your Bibles yet, but I want to speak to you this morning from a few verses here in Romans chapter 5 on the subject of the remedy for our own sinfulness. If we had the time to read the first five chapters of Romans, we would discover that the man who wrote this by divine inspiration, he is giving us information about the God who justifies and the means by which God justifies the ungodly. Now, I think that often as a preacher, and other preachers also, I fear that we sometimes make this mistake. We just kind of assume that people know the definitions of these words that we use. What does it mean to be justified? I know this, we've got to be justified to go to heaven, got to be justified in salvation. There's no acceptance with God apart from justification. It's a biblical word. You look through especially the epistles of the Apostle Paul, and you'll find that he often speaks about being justified. And of course, in the book of Romans, especially in the first five chapters, this is a key thing about being justified. And I'll throw this in before I give you a definition of justified. You know, this is not the first epistle that this man wrote. The very first one that he wrote most likely was 1 Thessalonians. But when the men who gathered the Scriptures together, what we call the canon of Scripture, when all of the books of the Bible were gathered together, all 66 of them, In wisdom that I believe God gave them, they put this one at the very beginning of the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And rightfully so. It is such a vital book. And that's not to put down any other book as far as that goes. But here is our doctrinal basis for salvation. Here's our real theology. Here's the gospel set forth for us, and especially in the first five chapters of the book of Romans, we read about this matter of being justified by God and justified by faith. Now, what does it mean to be justified? Well, it means to be, the root word is just. It means to be just with God, that is, to be forgiven by God of all of our sins. So it's to be absolutely forgiven of every wrong, of every iniquity, of every vile thought, of every evil imagination, of all the impurity of our dreams, our actions, our words. It means to be fully and finally forgiven of every breakage of God's law. There's no doubt but what all of us we've already committed many sins, not only this day, but even in this very service. You see, anything that isn't perfect and anything that's not of faith before God is sin. Any thought that is not honoring to God, any deed that you might do or I might do, any word that we might speak that is not done consciously for the glory of God is sin. Now, how many times have you sinned already today, even in this service? You see, it's absolutely foolish for anyone to say, I live above sin. I keep the law of God. That's a statement made out of absolute ignorance or a statement that is made by somebody who is deceived. Everything that we do must be, in the eyes of God, done to perfection. Or He can't have anything to do with it. Well, you say, well then, Jim, since our worship is imperfect, our prayers are imperfect, our thoughts are imperfect, our prayers are imperfect, our reading of the Scripture is imperfect, how then can God receive anything that we do? And the answer is through Christ Jesus. See, that's the reason we've got to have a mediator. Because even though we are the people of God, even though we love the gospel of God's grace, even though we love and appreciate Christ our Savior, still we're very much, as you know and I know, in the flesh. And we sin. We've got to have a mediator. We've got to have one to whom we can go, who will then take all of our petitions, be it thanksgiving or asking God for something, whatever it is. We've got to have one who intercedes for us, who is our mediator between a holy God and us. That's Christ Jesus. To be justified then is to be forgiven. And I say to those of you who have not, you've not experienced the wonders of God's forgiveness, I say to you, oh, that God would bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus to see that everything God demanded for your own sinfulness has been fully accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. You who are the people of God, I know you weep over your sinfulness even as I do mine, and I confess my sins. I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I've done wrong. I've thought wrong. My motives are wrong. It's an endless thing. But I know upon the basis of the Word of God that I'm justified by God and before God. That is, He hath forgiven me of all my sins. Can you enter into that? Yes, we do confess our sins. But don't keep beating yourself up over your sins and living in misery. Oh, that God would give us grace to enjoy this wonderful and great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, which means full forgiveness of all sins. God holds nothing against you. Isn't that wonderful? God is not mad at you. He's angry with the wicked every day, but you're not wicked. You're righteous. You're righteous through the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. God's not angry with you. Now, do we displease Him when we sin? Well, absolutely. He's not pleased with us with the sins that we commit, but He is pleased with us in Christ Jesus. So enjoy your forgiveness. Here's what it means to be justified. It means to be forgiven of all sin. And then here's what it means to be justified. Secondly, it means to be made righteous. Well, we often speak about righteousness, and rightfully so. We should speak of righteousness. But what does that mean? We say you've got to be righteous before God. The root word is right. You've got to be right with God. And to be right with God, you've got to be perfect. Well, how can you be perfect? How can I be perfect? After all, the Bible says we drink iniquity like water. Well, how can I be perfect? I'm perfect through the perfection of my Savior, which is credited to me. I'm credited for all the obedience of my Savior. Should I be obedient to God? Absolutely. I should be obedient to Him, to love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. But I cannot do those things perfectly, and God requires it. But my Savior did that. He did that for me. And therefore, I'm right with God. I'm righteous before God. Because His obedience, through His life,
and in his death. Because the scripture says in Philippians, the second chapter, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient all through his life, and he was obedient in dying to redeem his people. And that obedience, the obedience of my Savior, is credited to me, and I'm rewarded as though it was my obedience I'm rewarded as though the obedience was mine. Because actually I was in the Savior when he was obedient to God.
Amen.
Everything God demanded of me in my Savior is fulfilled. I'm righteous before God. That's what we've got to appreciate. And you see, his perfections, his beauties, there has been, the scriptures, it's been imputed to us, been credited to our account. In fact, in Romans chapter 4, we have the word reckoned, accounted, imputed. His righteousness credited to us. Say, do you believe in rewards? Yes. We're going to be rewarded for that which is on our record. And you know what's on our record? Absolute righteousness, perfection. And we're going to be rewarded for that. And none of it, listen, none of it was our doing. It's all the doing of our Savior. At no point in this grand scheme of salvation, from beginning to end, at no point in this great salvation can we point to somewhere and say, now that's what I did and God's rewarding me for that. Oh no. Because everything we do is defiled by sin. Don't you understand? We're a vessel that's polluted. Everything we do, the prayers that we pray, the sermons we preach, the worship service we attend and enter into, it's all contaminated by sin. Do you really want God to reward you for what you have done individually? Who in their right mind, who has some concept of the nature and the status of their own heart, who would ever want to be rewarded for God to reward you for what you have actually said, done, and thought? Why, you wouldn't want anybody else in here to know your thoughts. And we're embarrassed just to think about it. God rewards us for the righteous obedience of Christ Jesus. And that's such a blessing. That's what it means to be justified. And you who are the people of God, you're justified. You're justified. It means to be made righteous. It means to be accepted by God. God who is holy, God who is righteous, God who dwells in light that is unapproachable, God who dwells in the most holy place, God who charges His angels with folly, God before whom the heavens aren't even pure. To be justified means He accepts us. He accepts us. And again, He accepts us in Christ Jesus. And because of the obedience of our dear Savior. And in the first five chapters of Romans, this beloved apostle speaks to us about this subject of justification. And I'll give you five things here briefly. Number one, the need for justification. Because now you know what it means to be justified. It means to have your sins forgiven. To be right with God. To be accepted by God. In chapter 1, beginning at verse 14, first 13 verses kind of an introduction to the letter. And beginning at chapter 1 in verse 14, continuing through chapter 3 in verse 30, we have set before us the need for justification. We need to be justified because we're sinful. See, here's sin and its remedy. We're sin. We not only commit sin, but really sin is what we are. That's why the Lord said to Israel, He said, from the top of your heads to the bottom of your feet. There's no soundness in you. You're just wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that haven't been bound up nor mollified. You're just a mess. And I say this to you in love, but listen, we're a mess from top to bottom. It's just defilement. You want to talk about perfection? You've got perfect defilement. That's what you've got. You're perfectly defiled. Therefore, the apostle, he begins this epistle. And like I say, this is strategically placed at the beginning of his many letters. 13, 14, if you include the book of Hebrews. Because he goes right into the need for justification. We need to be forgiven. We need to be made righteous. We need to be accepted, and it's all in Christ Jesus. So he begins by saying in chapter 1, verse 14, through chapter 3 and verse 30, this is the great need. We're sinners. And because we're sinners, it is impossible to justify ourselves. Number one, you can't quit sinning. You say, well, I'm going to stop doing these bad things that I do. Well, you're doing some bad things. Stop them. Just stop. But you can't stop your mind. Can you? You can't stop those selfish motives. You know exactly what I mean. You can't stop your vile imagination. You can't stop your dreams. You're defiled, and so am I. So we can't justify ourselves. We can't put away our sins. Can't deal with our sins. We don't even know them all. Heard somebody one time say, if I've sinned today, you might as well stop right there. If you've sinned. Do you not know that you've sinned multiple times? Our own sinfulness has resulted in our utter inability to produce or even go after righteousness. Our own sinfulness. You see, the Lord Jesus is the righteousness that God demands. Well, why then doesn't everybody run to Him? Why doesn't everybody believe Him? Why doesn't everybody forsake their own way and go the way that God has appointed, the new and living way, Christ Jesus, who is the way to God? Why don't people do that? Because they're sinful. Because they're depraved. And you start talking about salvation, they say, well, I'll be okay. I'll be okay, preacher. No, you won't be okay. You're only okay if you're in Christ Jesus. Is that right? You're only okay if you're in Christ Jesus. You can't justify yourself. Job said in Job 9 and verse 20, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, it'll prove me perverse. He said in Job 25 verse 4, One of his buddies said this, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman?" And David said in Psalm 143 verse 2, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." See, sin, here's the problem. Here's the need for justification. In fact, let me read just a few verses to you from this first section. Look back in chapter 3. In verse 9, chapter 3 and verse 9, here's what the apostle writes. He says, "Well, what then? Are we better than they? Are Jews better than Gentiles? No. In no wise, in no way is one group better than another group. For we had before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin." Under. That's a powerful word. Under sin. Under the dominion of sin. Under the control of sin. Under the power of sin. Under the authority of sin. We said we've before proved that, and he's proved that in chapters 1, 2, and up to this point in chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. "As it is written," and it is written in the Psalms, "there's none righteous, no, not one." Not you. Not your mother, not your father, not the finest person you know in the world. You know, this business about, somebody was telling me about somebody passed away, and I guess a family member said, if there's anybody in heaven, they are. Well, wait a minute now. That's salvation by works. If there's anybody in heaven, it's because of God's grace given to them in Christ Jesus. If there's anybody in heaven, it's because Christ died for them. If there's anybody in heaven, it's because the blood of Christ Jesus made atonement for them. If there's anybody in heaven, it's because the Holy Spirit revealed to that sinful person the doing and the dying of the dear Son of God and brought them to rest their poor souls in Him. But there's none righteous, no, not one. In verse 11, there's none that understandeth. There's none that grasps the holiness of God, of His character, of His demands for perfection. And there's none that seeks after Him. Not by nature. I know the Lord said, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." But we don't do that till He intervenes. When He seeks us, then we seek Him. When He calls on us, then we call on Him. If God waits for you to take the first step toward Jesus Christ the Savior, He will wait forever. You don't take the... No person takes the initiative in salvation except God. He must come to us. We've got to get away from this idea that this salvation, it's available, but we've got to step out and get it. If God is waiting on us, we'll never be saved. You see, the work of redemption and reconciliation and putting away the iniquities of His people and the bringing in of righteousness has already been accomplished. The Spirit of God comes to us and He makes us alive and He shows us the work has been done for sinners just like you. And then we come to rest in Christ Jesus. And as far as us justifying ourselves, look down at verse 19 of chapter 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. There's that word under again, under the dominion of the law, under the control of the law, under the authority of the law, under the power of the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Has God ever shut your mouth? Talk about what a good person you are, and well, you know, I treat my neighbors right, and I try to live right, and I try to love God, I try to love everybody, and you know, I do nice things for people. God's going to have to shut your mouth. He's going to have to shut the mouth. And make you to see you're guilty. You see that verse 19? Become guilty before guilty. Isn't it amazing? Men are so arrogant and filled with pride, they'd rather go to hell than say, I'm guilty as charged. But whether you acknowledge it or not, you're very guilty before God. And so am I. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching to all of us. We're guilty. Therefore, he says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by you doing things, obeying legal requirements, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be, there's that word, justified in God's sight. Now you might fool people and they'll say, you're justified, well, only in their sight. But it doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter what our estimation is. All that matters is God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so in this first section, he sets forth the need for justification. Here's the second thing. And this begins at chapter 3, and I would say verses 21 through 31. And this is God's way of justification. You see, what we couldn't do, what we cannot do, God could do, and He did do, through Christ Jesus. The remedy, here's the remedy for our sin. I know we've got an awful disease now. But there's a remedy. And the remedy for sin is Christ Jesus and His work of redemption. If sinners are to be saved, if they're to be made the righteousness of God, they must be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And God must do the work. See, only God can forgive sin. Only God can declare the guilty to be guiltless. Only God can legally pronounce a person to be righteous in His sight. Only God can do that, which means two things. Number one, this justification has got to be a matter of grace. It's got to be a matter of grace. And that's what he says here in chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified, he uses the word freely, which means without a cause in us, by His grace. Being justified without a cause in us by God's grace. It's got to be an act of grace. It can't be merit. It can't be based on our works. Otherwise, nobody would ever be justified before God. And secondly, not only must it be an act of grace, but it must be an act that meets God's just requirements. Death for sin. It's got to be that. Which
it does meet that requirement. Because again, in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This justification is all of grace and due to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's through the substitutionary, justice-satisfying obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ even to His death that we're justified. God set Him forth to be the propitiation, the satisfaction of divine justice. You see, God brings us to believe the record that He has given to us of His Son. Here's the good news. The remedy for sin. And the remedy is the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which satisfied all of God's legal requirements and met our every need. The gospel is the good news that Christ has satisfied God. I rarely get on Facebook. Too much junk on there. And there's a lot of good on there, I know that. But I just don't take the time to look at it very much. But yesterday I was looking because I got on there. As you know, we went to Ethan, our grandson's graduation. And it was on Facebook. You can see the entire graduation ceremony. And so I was looking for that, and I came across this quote by a very popular preacher today. And he made this statement, and I want you to think about this. He was talking about the gospel. He said, "The gospel is so simple. It is repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." That's a quote from him. I'll give you just a few seconds to think about that. Absorb that. The gospel is repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the gospel? Well, let me answer for you with a very distinct word. No, it is not. That is not the gospel. The gospel doesn't have anything to do with what you must do. The gospel is a declaration of a work already done by Christ Jesus. And you've got to be very careful because error can just slip in. Error is a very slippery thing. Mr. Spurgeon said, error, heresy, it's like indebtedness. It's very slippery. You get in there and you can't get out. You just slide down. And that's the way it is with error. And there are multitudes of people who think, boy, that is good. That is good. The gospel is repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, must a man repent? Yes. Must a man believe on Christ? Yes. But that's not the gospel. The gospel gives us the reason that men do repent and the reason men do believe on Christ Jesus is because of a work finished to God's satisfaction, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You be careful who you listen to and what you read. We can't justify ourselves. But here's the third thing. As we get to the fourth chapter, this wonderful apostle gives us illustrations of what it means to be justified. Illustrations of men who were justified, and he sets before us Abraham in chapter 4. Who believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness.
And he sets before us another illustration of a man by the name of David. And he also was justified, as the Scripture says, by faith without any works of his own. Now, what about faith? Does faith make us righteous? No. And so actually, to be absolutely accurate, faith doesn't justify us. Faith receives the truth of being justified by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Faith doesn't put your sins away. Now, don't be so foolish to think that your faith has got that kind of power. Or that your faith can justify you before God, make you righteous. Faith doesn't do that. Faith is a receiver. Faith is a look to Christ Jesus. Faith is a hug and embrace of the Savior. Faith is a coming to Him out of your neediness and receiving out of His fullness, grace and mercy and salvation. But this faith, it doesn't work for salvation. It works after salvation. But the gospel is a declaration of what Christ has done, the work that He has done, and then we believe Him. That's what faith does. Faith reaches out her empty hands and takes hold of Him who is the fullness of God, who has in Him all the riches of grace. That's what faith does. But faith in and of itself, and you can write this down if you want to, faith in and of itself does not justify us any more than works do. You can't be justified by your works, and you cannot be justified upon the basis of your faith. Faith receives the work Christ has already done. Faith believes, faith receives, faith embraces. Faith is active after conversion, but faith didn't redeem us. Faith didn't put our sins away. And when you come to believe Christ Jesus, and I pray that you will, I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice will come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't you think for a moment that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden your sin problem is dealt with. Your sin problem, if you're brought to faith in Christ Jesus, your sin problem was handled 2,000 years ago. Faith embraces the fact of that and welcomes the good news of that. And then fourthly, the glorious blessings of justification. This is chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. He says this in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we believe on Christ. Faith doesn't secure the peace. Faith enters into the wonders of this peace that's been made. That's what faith does. And by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Listen, by faith we stand before God on the rock, Christ Jesus. That's a blessing of justification. We stand. And in the day of judgment, everybody's going to have to make an appearance before God. But there will be some people who will be able to appear before Him and stand. Well, how can that be? Because we stand on Christ Jesus, the solid rock. That's the reason. Everybody else just makes an appearance and then away with you. But we'll be able to stay there. We'll be able to abide the presence of God, and God will be able to abide our presence. And the reason is because through the substitutionary death of Christ Jesus, We are made the righteousness of God in Him. So we can stand before God. That's the blessings, the glorious blessings of justification. And all of these other things that he talks about here in the first few verses of chapter 5. No wonder an old writer, Martin Luther, he said this, although I am still a sinner, yet I despair not, for Christ, who is my representative, and who is my righteousness, and who is my redeemer, He ever lives. In Him I have no sin. In Him I have no fear. In Him I have no sting of conscience. In Him I have no fear of judgment. For in Him there is no condemnation. And he said this, I am indeed a sinner as touching this present life, but I have a holiness and a righteousness which is above this life. The righteousness of Christ my Lord, and in Him alone I rejoice. End quote. Isn't that wonderful? In Him alone I rejoice. No wonder Paul says there in verse 2, in whom or wherein we stand. We stand in Christ Jesus. And then here's the last thing. What is our confidence of justification? And that would be from verses 9 through the end of the chapter. And I would sum up this last section concerning justification by saying, here is our confidence. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He stood for us as our representative, and we stand before God in the perfection and the beauty of our Savior. Listen to what Paul says in verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved in or by His life. That is, He who died for us ever lives. He ever lives to represent us before the Father. And He is our acceptance. Here's our confidence of justification. My, with what assurance the apostle speaks. But we can also speak with confidence. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There's no wrath in Him. There's no wrath for anybody who's in Christ Jesus. No wrath for Him, no wrath for us. And here is our confidence. Here's our assurance. The Savior has done the work. But now, if you're working and trying to earn favor with God, well, I've got some news for you. Number one, your work will never be done. And number two, your work can never be done because you can't satisfy God's demands. But if you're resting your poor, sinful, polluted soul in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, if He is your only hope of glory, if that's a fact, then I can say to you, you're justified. All is well between you and a holy God. Now, not because of your faith, but your faith is the evidence that God has done a work of grace for you and a work of grace in you. Here's our confidence of justification. What is the problem? The problem is sin. And we're all infected. We've got a terrible disease. But there's a remedy. It's this justification. It's this work of God by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Let's sing